The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue 56, Star Wars The Force Awakens. John and I started out a little slow on this one. I don't know why. For some reason, we had a little trouble getting traction. I didn't feel the energy at the beginning. But as you can see by the time, this is a long podcast. We pick up, and then we just can't stop. And we go over, is Han dead? Is Han a Jedi? Or does Han have Jedi powers? How did Rey get her powers? Grab a beer, or your favorite beverage, because there are a lot of pretzel making going on in this one. And of course, we do our ranking, and John and I can't wait to get to that. Like all of our Star Wars episodes, they're long, but we had a blast doing it. Let's get into the story. Hey, John, happy Veterans Day.
Hey, DJ.
I didn't get you anything.
I was going to say thank you. Hey, so yeah, Veterans Day, so to all the veterans out there, thank you for your service.
That's where I was leading. That's where I was going next, so nice job.
Beat you to the punch.
There you go. Yeah, thank you for your service. My dad's veteran, so happy Veterans Day, everybody.
Yeah.
No holidays for us. We're here. We're working.
That's right.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it, you know?
But hey, today only, we're giving the Brightside Chat for 20% off.
Oh, today, to veterans or everybody?
Everybody. Why not?
Let's give 100% off to the veterans.
Yeah. I'm feeling magnanimous. Let's give it to everyone.
Jeez. Didn't know I was podcasting with an encyclopedia over there.
Thesaurus.
Oh, see?
You've heard of Encyclopedia Brown. I'm Thesaurus Black.
Oh, boy. All right.
Sounds like the dude from Harry Potter we talked about last week, Thesaurus
Black.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Hey, that Mateena cover? Can't go wrong.
No, it's awesome.
Can't go wrong. It's so funny. I get your list, like, when you put it out last week. You give me the list before we do the show, and I never look through it, because then I'd have nothing to talk about now.
I was going to say, the idea is that you look at the post
I look before Monday so that I can, you know, make, because these are the FOCs,
right?
So I can make my orders appropriately.
You're right.
But yeah, it is really cool. Yeah, that's what Bruce and Thomas, right?
Yes.
Hey, I did get a chance to, I read Daredevil.
Yeah.
That was good.
Really good, yeah.
Three different stories.
It is. You had the whole...
But it was still good. Usually when you say that in a short comic book, you're like, come on.
You had the whole Kingpin, Winston Wolf
Yeah, I like Winston. I liked Winston on the show, too.
Yeah.
We've said it before. This book really has the feel of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole... That's if anybody hasn't read, for anybody that hasn't read it, we won't ruin anything. But
yeah,
that was
no.
kind of a sad story.
It was
on the Kingpin story on a couple of level on a few levels actually.
Well, for one character in particular.
Yes. Yeah. I think it also. I don't think it's a spoiler. I think it's a sad story for Kingpin too. They're trying to bring some humanity to him, which is very difficult. But
it is.
But yeah, that was a good story, and then I did enjoy the Daredevil part.
Yeah,
that story.
Yeah, the training with Elektra was really cool.
Yeah, you're getting the like we said before, it's a little drawn out, but I'm enjoying it because if it's not drawn out, it's over.
Right.
You know. So, and I kind of like the ending, that last story.
Yes.
That wrap up with him.
Yeah, and the detective.
Yeah, where that detective story and. The last page was pretty cool on how that's going to develop in the next issue. So,
Daredevil's been, I've raved about it in the past. This run has been really good. But, you know, it did take a little bit of a dip for a couple of issues. But I think this one was really solid. I liked it a lot, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're back on the upswing.
Yeah.
We get him back in his Daredevil outfit pretty soon.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would say maybe by the end of the next issue.
27 more issues will be there. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You got anything else?
Mm-mm. No.
No.
Nothing. Mm-mm. Good night.
I need bigger words than...
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't have any news or anything to go over, so we can jump right into Force Awakens, I think.
All right, let's get into it then. Star Wars Episode 7?
Yes.
The Force Awakens.
It has.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it? The dark side and the light.
All right, how do you want to start this one? Because typically we start off with talking about how we felt when this movie came out, and blah, blah, blah. But this is a fairly recent movie, so...
Well, it is, but it still had... I mean, I still had feelings when I saw it, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, it wasn't, I mean, like... My only thing was, like, obviously when we saw Star Wars, we were 7.
Right.
When Phantom Menace came out, it was the first movie that we never thought we were going to get.
Right.
So that was pretty cool. This one here, we had known about
this,
for a long time.
Well, actually, this movie is also the first one that we never thought we were going to get. You know, after the prequel trilogy ended, like, there was no promise of this either.
Yeah, but it wasn't as long.
10 years. I mean, it was 10 years. This came out in 2015, so we had waited quite a while for this. You know, until Disney bought Lucasfilm, we weren't sure we were going to get the second half of this, or the third part of this trilogy. So,
yeah.
You know, I think we went into this one with a little bit of trepidation because the prequel trilogy really wasn't received super well.
That's true.
You know, I had some expectations because of J.J. Abrams, who at that point had just come off of the Star Trek reboot.
Star Trek, yeah.
And I loved the Star Trek, well, at least the first one.
So did I.
I really liked that movie a lot, so I was excited for him to take over Star Wars. So I think we had a lot of, you know, I had like cautious optimism, I guess, going into it.
You know,
when I saw it, but we had, like I said, we had been anticipating for a while. You know, we waited 10 years before we got another Star Wars movie.
Seems like a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I mean, I forget that it's been that it would been had been 10 years.
Yeah.
But yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah, it was 10 years, but...
You know, and obviously we knew for a few years it was coming because, you know, Disney...
Right.
I don't know what year Disney bought Lucasfilm. I can't remember. But, you know, obviously this went into production and it took a couple of years to make. So, we knew it was coming. But there was still a 6 or 7 year period at least after Revenge of the Sith that we weren't sure that, you know, this movie was coming.
Well, yeah, because I just, in my... other podcast I talked about Star Wars and one of the things I mentioned is like I own the complete saga.
Right.
I think that was put out in 2009 and
right.
That was considered the complete saga, which it's not anymore.
Right. It obviously you know? Not. And by 2009 we knew that it wasn't either. Even though Force Awakens hadn't come out,
yeah.
We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You know, marketing.
Yeah, that's why they had to get that complete saga out to us.
They had to get it out before 2010. Otherwise,
right.
They weren't going to be able to do it. But yeah, this, like I said, this came out in December of 2010. What was kind of interesting for me with this is that I had just opened my store.
This came out in December. Did you say 10 or 15?
I'm sorry, December of 15. I don't know
yeah,
where
yeah.
I got 2010 from. But December of 2015, and you know, I had just opened in September, so I was pretty new. I hadn't been open for a long time, and this was really the first thing. Like, this movie drove a ton of awareness to my store. Because
so you're loving this movie.
Well, I did. Well,
this is like your favorite style. I don't. Can we go right to the end and we'll rank it?
Well, but you know, obviously, you know, I've mentioned before that my store is right next to a movie theater.
Right.
So when this movie came out, I made a deal with the theater that I was going to set up in the lobby, you know, before the two showings. So what was interesting for me about this is that I didn't get to attend the first showing of this because I was working the lobby. So the landmine for me was listening to all the people coming out of this showing, wanting to talk about Star Wars, and I did it twice because I was in the lobby for the 7 p.m. show and the 9 p.m. show, listening to all these people come out as I'm handing out, you know, free, I had free promotional Star Wars comics that I was handing out, and I was handing out flyers and business cards, you know, saying go to my store two doors down, and we kept the store open so that people could go in there, and I was selling merchandise. We were running back and forth. You know, I had a great time doing that. But what was really cool about it is we weren't sure that we were going to be able to see the movie that night. We didn't think we were going to. And then it's a smaller theater. It's not really a big chain. So the manager had decided that they were going to do like an after-hours showing with their staff and all those that hadn't got a chance to see it. And they invited us to stay and watch. So we kind of watched it in a semi-private screening, which is, you know, dozen people or so. But it was like 12:30. I mean, it was late, you know.
Right. Yeah, like a midnight showing, though.
And I ended up dozing through.
Like the legitimate ones.
Yeah, I ended up dozing through a little bit of it towards
the
end.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I was like, exhausted. No indictment on the movie at all, but you know, we ended up seeing it again the next day.
Of course.
Because, you know, I was like, well, I don't remember that scene particularly well.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was, like I said, it was unique for me in that it was, you know, there was a lot of excitement for me with the store and my kind of burgeoning new business and, you know, kind of staying in, you know, everybody coming out of that movie wanted to talk about, especially the big, you know, we're going to go spoiler free on this. It's 5 years old. But you know the Han Solo, obviously Han being dead. I didn't want to know that going into it.
Did
so.
You know it?
I did not. No, I
actually good.
I was able to avoid pretty well because everybody that came anywhere near me, I said, don't talk about this movie. But yeah, so that was kind of my little story about the first night, you know, and when I saw that movie. So I don't know if you had anything similar. I'm sure you didn't have. Obviously, you weren't opening a store, but
if I did, it was a failed one because I don't have it anymore.
But I mean, I'm sure you had, you know, your own anticipation building up to going to see it. So
it was, and that's funny. You said you saw it in a private viewing, which is really, you know, that's fun in itself,
right? But it's probably more fun. It was more fun the next day seeing it with the audience.
I was just going to say, I'm like, did it take away maybe a little bit of the cheering that always goes on at the, you know, the opening, you know, text scroll, you know, crawl. And then the, you know, just that, you know, that John Williams theme.
Yeah, it was a lot more exciting the next day. Obviously, I was more aware as well because I was wide awake. But
yeah.
But part of that, too, was, again, being in the theater with a small crowd, nobody was cheering and keeping you up and keeping you excited either. So.
Keeping you awake.
Well, but you know,
right.
The energy wasn't
Right, you know? Exactly.
Because like if I had seen it, even though it was late and I was tired, if it was a full theater, you know, full of people that were super excited,
right,
you know, I would have stayed more engaged, I'm sure. Just because, you know, like I said, the atmosphere being there.
Yeah. I remember people gasping when Solo died.
Oh, yeah.
When he was killed, and people like they couldn't believe it. And
honestly, we jumped to the end. Yeah,
we're jumping ahead. But speaking of the audience,
right.
But yeah, I don't.
There was a lot of those gasp moments in this movie because we had, you know, a lot of fan service that went on. So not necessarily the gasp of dying, but there was a lot of reactions throughout the movie when, you know, characters would hit the screen for the first time and
BB-8.
Yeah.
I thought BB-8, one of the things I noticed, especially watching it again this week, is that way, way more emotion out of a droid than they'd done previous.
Right.
R2 never showed a lot of emotion.
No.
He was a droid. You know, he was very matter of fact, did his job, and you loved him. Everybody loved
him.
Yeah,
well, R2. I mean, he had a tendency to get a little excited at times.
But not, yeah, he'd get excited, but BB-8 showed he was sad.
Right.
He showed the full range of emotions. You know, like when they told him that Poe had died and he had sulked and like bowed down, was upset, and then like sulked away or whatever.
Right.
I thought that was different for a droid. You know, they hadn't shown emotion in any droid in previous Star Wars movies.
Right.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what I liked about it...
Yeah, I mean, I still don't understand the mechanics of BB-8. Like, I'm still not quite sure how he works, but...
We had one. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
We had a little BB-8, and our dog ate it.
Right.
Ate his head.
There's a remote control toy that does sort of the same thing, but it doesn't have to have... like a sentient head or anything. Like, it doesn't have to have wires connecting its head to its body because it's a toy, you know?
No, but the wires, the head and the body aren't connected. And if I can operate it, then it can, why couldn't it operate itself? It's just all you're doing is taking the controls and put them in the head or in the body.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's just magnets or whatever. And the thing rolls around and does its thing. It's like, if we can literally make it into a toy and it's not the... The head and the body came apart on the toy.
Right.
So if you can make that, why couldn't they make a real one?
I mean,
that of all the things in the Star Wars universe, that one was quite believable.
Okay. I mean, I'm not arguing with you.
No, I know.
Just an observation.
No, but my other point on BB-8 is what in this movie is I liked that he was all tied up. We didn't have a Jar Jar. We didn't have Ewoks. We didn't have anything really like that because we had BB-8. And I didn't feel like it detracted from the movie like people complained about Ewoks and Jar Jar.
Right.
You know what I mean? And BB-8 was able to satisfy, like, the kids, attract kids to the movie. And it was, you know what I mean? But it still didn't detract from the adults. And adults, like, even like myself, I liked BB-8. I thought
he
was cool.
Yeah.
You know? That's one of the things I noticed out of this movie here, starting out, is they still wanted to play to kids, but I thought they did a better job of it without pulling away from the adults' entertainment. Do you not agree?
I agree just fine. I didn't look at it that way. I mean, you know, if you go back to the original Star Wars, you didn't have Ewoks or anything in that. I mean, you had nothing in there either that was necessarily made for kids. It wasn't until, you know, Jedi that you got the Ewoks. I mean, I don't know that was the role he was intending to serve when they wrote the movie, but...
well, my point was like since Jedi, every movie had, like, that hook for a kid. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this was the first movie since then that we didn't have to worry about that. I thought that was good that they did it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that this movie was not aimed for kids, but I think this was really, honestly, this was the first movie I thought that was aimed more for us. Like, this movie was fan service. This was aimed at the adult fans of the original Star Wars more so than marketed towards kids. I think that's the defining part of this newest trilogy that Disney's doing, is that it seems to be taking the older audience into, you know, more than necessarily marketing towards the kids. You know, obviously they want kids to go see it, but even Last Jedi, which we'll get to later in the next podcast, you know, there was nothing in that was marketed towards younger kids either. This movie, like, the biggest criticism of Force Awakens is that it was too much like A New Hope and that it was just all fan service. And I don't necessarily ascribe to that, even though this movie follows that formula. Like, even watching it again this morning,
right?
Like, this movie is A New Hope, like exactly A New Hope. I mean, it's like it follows all the same beats, and it was done intentionally. You know, like I said, it was to play to the fans. You know, you got all the familiar beats that you were looking for. You know, updated with a newer, you know, obviously a newer some new situations and a newer story. But you know, Jakku is Tatooine. You know, the beginning scene with Kylo going down to get the plans. I mean, that's like the opening scene of Star Wars. you know, where Vader's going after the plans in the, you know, in the ambassadorship. I mean, it's the same
right.
movie.
Right. Yeah, and Poe puts the plans in a droid.
Right. Poe is Han Solo, right?
It's right. Like, I even said that watching the movie. I'm like, oh, putting plans in a droid to send them off for protection.
It's the
Where
same.
Have I seen that before?
It's really the same movie. And again, critics of it, that's what they criticize. To me, I loved that. Like, to me, that's what brought me into it. Like I said, it was familiar. It was all the beats from Star Wars that we loved as a kid, but it had some updated, you know, obviously.
Exactly.
You know, updated scenes and updated storylines, but it still hit all those emotional beats that I was looking for from Star Wars.
Yeah, I thought it did. I thought it followed the A New Hope script.
Right.
Or formula, whatever you want to call
it. Right, it was a formula, you know, I mean.
But I also thought that it added to it and had some, I don't know, twists to it, if you'd call them twists. But it wasn't a scene-for-scene
movie. No, it wasn't.
But they had some different parts of it that made it its own movie. Right. And it's like, I mean, you're making 9 of these things. So, of course, you're going to have some similarities here and there. We said that when we watched Empire. We were like, oh, this is kind of following the script of Star Wars, you know, the way that movie progressed along. So, you know, it's like when you like a band. Oh, they saw their albums sound the same. Well, yeah, it's the same band.
Right. So, but again, you can look at this and draw, like, you know, Rey is obviously, you know, Rey is Luke Skywalker. Poe is Han Solo. Like, you have the same characters. You have the same, like I said, you had the same storylines. She's the orphan kid from the desert planet. And, you know, he's the hotshot pilot. So, I mean, it was very, very reminiscent of... You know, obviously Kylo Ren is Darth Vader. You know, he looks just like him. So
right. Well, that's the idea. Yeah. I don't know if I'd say Poe was. Well, I guess he's Han Solo.
Poe is Han. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, but
he has to be.
Yeah, but see, that's where you're trying to pigeonhole him into because you're trying to make it fit the movie. But his role in this movie was nothing like Han's.
It's but his personality and his characteristics were a lot of Han.
How do you figure?
I mean, he's the flyboy, hotshot pilot that doesn't think before running into danger, you know, just goes into every situation. I mean, that's the way
but
Han
now,
is.
Yeah, but now you're jumping ahead.
I don't know why
ahead.
You're arguing with me on this. Like, it's just
Because I don't see him as Han. That's okay. Why. I was – because I don't see him as Han because he was hardly in the movie. Because he was – for a good portion of the movie, we thought he was dead. And then he just shows up at the end and it's like – You know, he shows up with a squadron of people, which
right,
is, you know.
He's the hotshot pilot that stands out and shoots down all the TIE fighters, you know, that Finn sees from the ground and says, that guy's a great pilot without even knowing that it's hot, you know, there's Poe up there in the.
Right.
The X-Wing, I couldn't think of my words, you know, up in the X-Wing. I mean, it's fine if you don't see it. That's how I see him. You don't have to see him that way.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I just think that that's a case where you're like, it's like, okay, we're trying to make it fit to the Star Wars narrative when it's like the two characters are, one's a smuggler, one's an actual pilot. You know, Han in the first one was just a smuggler that bragged about his being a pilot, but
being the best pilot in the galaxy, so.
I would think Poe was more like Luke. I mean, as an X-Wing pilot, but I know what you're saying, like, you know, Rey is Luke. I mean, growing up on a desert planet, I don't know. I just feel like it's like, all right, we're trying to make him seem like, because they make him seem like Han, but he really isn't if you really look at it. He didn't really do anything like Han.
Okay, disagree. I mean, it's fine. I disagree with you, but that, I mean, I'm not trying to make an argument of it. I'm not one of those guys that is trying to pigeonhole the whole thing into being Star Wars. I'm just saying those are the character, like, that's who he relates to me when I watch it. Like, that's the Han Solo character. You know, you already have the Luke character in Rey.
Who's Finn?
Finn's just Finn. Like, he's Lando, I guess. I don't know.
See, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was thinking he would
Finn
be more
doesn't
like
fit
Lando.
Yeah, he doesn't really fit the molds of any of the other characters. You know, I'm not, like, again, I'm not saying everything in the movie was Star Wars. It's just there's a lot of similarities and there's a lot of similar beats to Star Wars in this. You know, the beginning scene is the same. You know, the plot, overall plot is basically the same. You know, You've got your familiar trio of characters.
All right, we could go back and forth all night about this. Why don't we put that one to the listeners? Because I've heard this conversation, I've had this conversation, and we'll put it to the listeners, and they can tweet at us. Tweet at the brightside underscore, actually, it's at brightside underscore chat. And what do you guys think? Who's who, who's what? And we'll go from there.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right.
I feel I will be vindicated.
I honestly do, too. I know, I but the funny thing, and we'll get into it on Twitter, but the funny thing is I've had this conversation, and most people feel that way, so.
Yeah.
You're usually vindicated anyways, because I'm always, I'm the pretzel over here, you know?
I got Dr. Joe. He usually has my back,
yep,
so.
That's, of course.
We'll see.
I got one for you.
All right.
I don't think, you're not, this isn't going to be an argument. I want to know if you heard this. Did you hear the Wilhelm scream?
I didn't, and
I did. It sticks out like crazy now.
I probably, yeah. I know I hear it all the time on, you know, we both listen to Garmin.
I was just going
to
say, we got
to
tell the listeners what we're talking about. Yeah. I mean, most people know what the Wilhelm scream is.
I was going to say, if you had, you should add it in as a sounder somewhere around this conversation.
Can I?
I
am I stealing it from Wilhelm or am I stealing it from Garmin?
I think it's public domain, but
yeah,
you can
no,
steal
I can
it
grab
from wherever
it.
You need to.
I can grab it. Yeah, but
no, I didn't notice it.
I don't know the full story though. I know it's canned audio and that they used
right.
it in the first Star Wars, and it's like what?
Well, I think it's in every. I think it's been in
every
Star
Wars.
Wars.
Yeah, it yeah. is. And in this one, go back, you'll find it. It's in the. I didn't mark the minutes and stuff like some people.
No, but just tell me generally
it's,
where it is.
It's when Finn and Poe were escaping in the TIE fighter.
Okay.
And they start shooting at the stormtroopers that are shooting at them. And
right.
I don't know if it's when the TIE fighter shoots and like a bunch of stormtroopers fall off the ledge or something.
Right.
But you can it's not
Yosemite
super distinct,
it.
But if you know what to listen for, you'll hear it. And it's like, yeah. I can't miss it now. It's pretty funny. I heard it in Jedi, too. I meant to mention
it. I'm surprised
it.
I didn't because I'm so keyed to, you know, we hear it every day almost. So
yeah. I actually missed it when August ended.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, again, it's like if you don't listen to Ralph Garman, he used the Wilhelm scream. Google the Wilhelm scream if you're a listener and you don't know what it is. It's canned audio that is – been it I think it was made famous by Star Wars.
It was, but it's been,
it's
all
been
over.
In a
it's
bunch
been
of
movies
and,
yeah.
yeah, so but anyways, yeah, I found it. And did you hear it in Jedi when we watched Jedi? It's
no, again, I haven't.
It's God, when somebody
I
goes into the what is
well
it,
actually
pit?
I'm sorry not to interrupt, but I didn't watch Jedi, like I didn't
oh, yeah.
go back and watch it before we recorded it.
That's
so
right.
That's why I didn't hear it, because I didn't watch it,
right? It's when I Somebody falls into the pit at the beginning.
Yeah.
During the what's that pit called when they get
the
eaten?
Sarlacc
pit. Right. There you go.
Yeah, it's somewhere around there.
Yeah, somebody falls in and you hear him or whatever the yeah. noise is. I can't.
I know that actually. I know where it is in that one. I just like I said, I didn't rewatch it.
Yeah.
So.
But it's pretty cool that it shows up yet again in what's this yeah. 2000 when this one come out 2015 or whatever.
2015. Yeah.
yeah. So, what else you got? We got tons
of
stuff.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff. So, you know, I guess the, you know, the biggest thing for me with it, you know, again, we kind of dissected this a few minutes ago with the similarities to, you know, to Star Wars and, you know, the fan service that JJ,
yeah.
you know, like you could tell that he was definitely, like he grew up being a Star Wars fan. And, you know, as much as this was fan service for us, the fans, I think it was, you know, for him as well, as a creator, getting
yeah.
to play in that, you know, being able to play in that sandbox. But, you know, I guess it's just the big moments that stand out for me, even watching it again,
before,
knowing that they were coming.
Before we get to the moments, let me ask you one question. Yeah, it's playing fan service, but do you think that's also because of the negativity after the prequels? And what I mean by like the over, I don't mean like the nitpicky here and there, but people had a general feel that the prequels weren't as good. Whereas right. do you think it's like, yeah, I agree with you that it is fan service, but do you think that that was also like a method to that madness of like, let's do it this way to get everybody back.
Well, there might have been a little chip on his shoulder saying, you know, thinking that he needed to, I don't know if maybe redeem Star Wars is the right word.
Well, I mean, go back to what's popular.
But bring it back, bring it back to its popularity. And again, it depends on who you ask. But, you know, if you ask a lot of diehard Star Wars fanboys, there was only ever three good movies. And they'll even debate that the last one wasn't that good. So, you know, a lot of people think there's two good movies and that's it, and the rest of it's been terrible. You know, and then a lot of people fall somewhere on that scale. So there might have been some of that. And then, you know, again, Disney, this is Disney's first jump into Star Wars, too. You know, they spend all this money on this franchise, and, you know, how are you going to recapture some of that investment? You know, go back to what worked and go back to what people liked. And I think that played part of it also. You know, again, that being said, I love everything they did. Like, I think this is a great movie. I know we'll get to the rankings later on.
That's
so
the second time we've talked about the rankings. I think we're both dying to get to the rankings.
Yeah. But you know, I think it accomplished what they were setting out to accomplish. And I actually, you know, and like, so to answer your question, I think absolutely it was deliberately done, you know, to kind of pull at the heartstrings and
back to basics kind of thing, you know?
Right. And like I said, give us what we love.
Right.
It did its job. Like, it gave us what we wanted while still advancing the story further.
Right.
You know, again, it is beat for beat very similar to A New Hope.
Yes.
But it still advances the story further with new characters, you know, new situations that help kind of propel it to the next, you know, to the next generation of fans that they're hoping to capitalize on.
And if the worst thing that the worst criticism of the movie is that it's beat for beat A New Hope, that's not bad compared to the criticisms that came before, because it's like, look, I gave you what you loved. So it's like,
how can you complain? This is what you wanted.
This is exactly so.
And this is what you all were. This is what you've all been complaining about wanting for 10 years on the internet since the last one ended.
Exactly.
So now don't jump on my back telling me, you know, I gave you what you wanted, and now you want something different.
Right. Because it's funny because when you try to do something different, everybody gets mad at you. But then you do the same thing, and
a la the Last Jedi. Yeah. And that's why, like I said, you just can't make everybody happy. And
no,
I've said it multiple times in the past, and I'll say it multiple times going forward. Nobody hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans. Like, it's just, you know, so everybody has such an ownership that they feel like over this franchise. And you're even, you know, jumping ahead to Rise of Skywalker, no matter what movie hits the theaters and no matter what we see on the screen, there's going to be a divide, and there's going to be somebody that's unhappy. Even if we get everything that we thought we wanted, somebody's still going to find something to fault it. And
did you see the tweet earlier today about that Pete put out? It's a thing going around about Anthony Daniels and whatever is going.
Yeah,
I don't want to get into all of that.
Yeah.
But Pete Super Swede put out he retweeted it, and he's saying how, like, he doesn't like the franchise, or he doesn't like the people, and how people. But my comment back to him was, when the original trilogy came out, he said, I don't think people will like this when the original trilogy came out. And people have been saying that a lot about a lot of things, right? Like, it wasn't like this back then. You and I had this conversation. I can't even remember what it was about, but we were like, how would you complain?
How would you know?
There was no social media. And I'm sure there were just as many people that didn't like stuff back then.
You know what it was? We were talking about Eartha Kitt's Catwoman.
When we talked
about Catwoman, you know, being, you know, African-American in the past, and how I made the comment that nobody really complained. And,
but they had,
you know, you're right. When you said maybe they were, and we just don't know it.
There were probably just as many, like, racist people back then, if not more.
Oh, I'm sure. Racism isn't new.
Right. So. But they didn't have an outlet like social media to go and, you know, and not only that, what social media provides is that protection of anonymity.
Right.
You know, so you get everything. And it's like, so I don't think it's any worse. And just like you said, you can't please everybody. It's like all the people that hated one thing but then all the other people, you do it differently, and then a new group of people hate it. It's not the same people, but you just, you can't help it.
I mean, again, and, you know, we've said this before, too, how social media, it tends to be the minority. Because as much hatred as I hear for Star Wars on a daily basis, I mean, Rise of Skywalker has broke all pre-sale records for ticket sales.
Oh, yeah.
Even beat Endgame for pre-ticket sales. Again, I mentioned before, I don't think it'll beat Endgame's box office overall. But, I mean, there's still a lot of people that are very excited to go see this movie.
Yeah.
So...
Well, look at, I mean, you don't have to go that far back to, like, Captain Marvel and the hate that came out for that, and the movie wasn't even out yet, and people, and then, but it broke.
It still did $1 billion.
Yeah, so, but anyways, back to Star Wars, so I interrupted you with that question. What, where were we going? I forget.
Well, I was just going to say, like, it was all the little moments that really made this movie for me. You know, like, even when we first meet Rey, you know, she's making her home in the belly of a downed Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
A little bit further along, we see, like, the ruins of a downed AT-AT. Like, the Empire didn't fare too well on Jakku because all their equipment's just laying around. People are living in it. But, you know, and those are all cool. But, you know, then we see the Falcon, right? Her and Finn are trying to escape. And, if, you know, again, a series of conveniences, and you know how I feel about that. But, you know, of course, the Falcon just happens to be there, too, on Jakku in the junkyard.
Again, it wouldn't be a story if it wasn't there.
I know.
It'd be a different story.
But, yeah, you know, we hadn't seen the Falcon on screen in, I mean, you can't even say a decade because it didn't appear in the prequels.
No.
So it had to have been 1983, right?
Yeah. So, over 30 years, 32 years.
So, and, you know, again, the Falcon is just as much of a character as anything else you're going to see. So,
yeah.
I mean, that was just such a cool moment, you know. And then 5 minutes later, the Falcon gets captured and we think it's the First Order. And lo and behold, it's Han and Chewie.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you get the moment that had been spoiled in the trailers.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Because I really wish we hadn't have seen Chewie, we're home before that happened.
Right.
But it still hits you right in the feels when it happens in the movie. Because you kind of forget that you had already seen it. And, you know, there's Han and Chewie. Chewie looking exactly the same 30 years later.
Well, he is like 200 and something years old. So he's still a young pup.
a long lifespan. But, you know, Han looking as scruffy as ever, you know.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's just, you know, again, it sounds... Only a geek will feel this way, but you know, it like makes your heart skip when you see that on screen. You're like, oh my God, you know, you knew he was there. I mean, you knew he was going to be in the movie already, but still seeing it for that first time was just, you know, and then, you know, they're in the Falcon, you know, and it's just like, they weren't the only ones that were home, you know, like we were home too.
Yeah, that was, exactly.
When he says that, it's like, all is right with the world. Han and Chewie are in the Falcon. Yep. You don't know how he lost the Falcon in the first place, and you never really find out why he didn't have it. You know, but yeah,
gambling.
Like, see, that to me makes the entire movie for me. Like nothing else had to happen, and it could have
rolled credits
right. Yeah, it could have rolled credits right there, and I would have been happy. I don't know. Like I said, your thoughts, I guess. You know, I don't know what else to say about
you
it.
Go.
Well, I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, it just, like I said, it was something that we had waited, I don't know, 20, 30 years.
30
for,
years,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
no, I felt the same way. I think everybody did. The part for me to build off of that was when, in that same scene, as it progressed on, he says, it was all real. It's all real. It's all true. And when he starts to talk about Luke and the whole thing, and that's the first time that the character of Han Solo, like, believes in the Force.
Well,
because up until there was no point in the original trilogy where he said, I believe in the Force. He made light reference to it and almost like sarcastically, like, may the Force be with you. He's trying to be nice to Luke at the end of Star Wars. But all the other ones after that, it's not like he really...
I think it's the first... It's definitely the first time we heard him acknowledge that he believed in it.
Right.
But obviously, if you extrapolate back, at some point sent his son to train. So at some point, he becomes a believer. We don't know...
That's what I mean.
Exactly when.
Right. Yeah. But that was the first time we saw that, the first time we heard that. And actually, if you took, like, spoiler free, that is the first time you think of it, because we don't even know. I don't think we knew Kylo was his son by then.
No, then we didn't. Right. At that point, we didn't know that.
So that's almost like, and I didn't even think of that until right now, but that's almost like a foreshadowing that he truly does believe in the Force.
Right.
Well, that's not foreshadowing. It's saying he truly believes in it, but this is why. It's foreshadowing why.
And then again, just another, since we're still on the, you know, the Falcon here, another just a little throwaway moment, but like I noticed it this time for some reason, and it really hit me, was Chewie's sitting back there and he's hurt and he's kind of lounging back there in the belly of the Falcon.
Oh, and, yeah, yeah.
BB-8 or whatever goes over and fires up the chessboard.
Yeah.
And then you just see Chewie, he perks up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting a game, fools, you know? Yeah. And it's like, just something about the way he, you know, kind of perked up and reacted when that chessboard came on.
Yeah.
And you're like, it just brings back all of that stuff again, you know, from the past. And I'd like to say, I thought that was a great scene. I'm sure I had noticed it before, but it kind of really hit me when I was watching it this time.
I've never done it, but when I first saw that in the theater, what my initial reaction to that scene was, I made like a mental note, which, and obviously I've never done it because my mental notes are very fragile. I wanted to go back and actually match that up. I'm like, is that the chess scene? Is that where the pieces were in?
Oh yeah, I don't. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Know. It's like you'd have to AB the two. You'd have to screen grab them and look. Like, is that the same chess match from A New Hope? I obviously have never done it because it's like, when am I sitting around going, I got nothing to do? Oh yeah, that chess scene.
Well, because you would imagine that table has options, right? Like you could, when you turn it on, you either get new game or resume saved game. Right?
Yeah.
Seriously, though.
No, I know.
That would have to be part of the programming, right?
So you would hope. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it could be the resumed game from R2 and 3PO, or R2.
Yeah.
And Chewie. So, yeah, I don't know. Now you make me want to look and see. I'll have to.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up. But I'll make another mental note.
Right. Another 10 years from now when we're doing our retrospective, we'll see if we remembered.
Yep, 10 years from now with our drool cups.
Right. I thought that, like I said, I thought that was a cool moment, though.
That, and when, I forget, who was it that was going through all the stuff, and they came out with the droid ball that, the practice, that Luke was practicing
on.
Yeah,
who was that? I don't even remember. Was it Finn?
I think it was. It had to have been.
But yeah, the remote.
The remote, the remote ball there that he was practicing on.
Well, and the other thing, too, in, I don't know how it would have gotten there. Well, I guess the Falcon was on Jakku. We knew that, right? Like, earlier you see Rey with the blast helmet on. Is that, like, Luke's blast helmet from the Falcon?
Yeah, would have to be.
Where'd she get that? Like, how did she get it from the Falcon, though? You know what I mean?
Oh, wait a minute. When did she have the blast helmet on?
At some point where she's, like, you know, you see her lounging around on Jakku.
Oh, in the sand. Right.
Yeah. And she has the, you know, you see her with the blast helmet on. And I just thought of it right this second, too.
Right.
I never thought of it before. But now I'm like, I'm wondering if that's Luke's blast helmet that he wore.
That couldn't
when he was training on the Falcon.
Oh,
the Falcon was
right,
there.
Right.
You know, how she would have got it, we don't know. But just another one of those cool things that is probably the same one that they used just for, you know, fan service, but I don't know. I'd have to go back.
She could totally get the blast helmet that he practiced in.
She would have had to, you know, scavenge it from the Falcon somehow.
Right.
It could have been up for sale in the marketplace or whatever.
Right.
You know, you don't know. But it's just cool. Something else to go back and look at side by side and see if it had the same markings and, you know, see if it was the same helmet or not.
Yeah, it's better than thinking and she got it off of a downed pilot.
Right.
So I got one that's kind of fun that isn't a callback. When Poe and Finn escape and they get into a TIE fighter, that was the first time we've really been that far into a TIE fighter. You know, it's like all the other views of inside has been like that straight on view of a pilot or Vader.
Right. It's
it's Vader, and it's just him doing the adjustments, and that's it.
Right. Apparently, you don't have to hold onto a steering wheel or anything. And you
right. And I think at some point you see their little targeting computer.
Right.
But yeah, you don't. You hadn't really seen the whole, like, being able to look around.
Yeah, it was a really in-depth tour of the inside of a TIE fighter, and I didn't. Apparently, these new ones are two-person TIE fighters.
Yeah.
You know.
Which I don't think we, well, actually, there was a
two-manned one, the double
well, I was
pod.
Saying, we had the TIE bombers, which I think were the.
Is that, they had, were bombers?
I think so, yeah. You probably had a pilot and a bomber.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the first time we had seen a TIE fighter that could have two, you know, two pilots in it. Or maybe it wasn't made for two and they were just really crammed in there. I don't know.
Well, no, it looked.
No, they were sitting
side by side. Because he knew getting into
so,
it,
yeah.
They knew running over to it, like, can you fly? I can fly. And like, can you shoot? And he's like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they knew what they were doing. They knew.
The first
the pilot and a gunner.
The best toys, though.
There was a gunner. I like those new TIE fighters, too. I like the look of being the black with the grayed out
wings.
Yeah,
they were cool.
Do you remember Finn's call number?
FN-2187.
There you go. Yep. Jumping back a second. I remember the first time in the theater, I was pretty blown away with Kylo stopping a laser blast and freezing it.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that, and I was like, well, I don't know if I want to go all the way back to the first scene of the movie, but yeah, that was odd. We have never seen really anything like that.
No.
You know, we had seen Vader deflect Han's blast
Jedi move it with their sabers.
Or Empire, rather.
Yep.
Right, but we had never seen them basically stop it in its tracks.
Freezing
and it
light.
And stayed there literally for a long time, because then you get to the point where you almost have forgotten about it.
Right.
And then Kylo is leaving, and the blast continues.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, that thing was still sitting there for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, and, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's okay. Things have advanced. and as things play out, you find out, obviously, he trained under Luke. Can Luke do that? Or is that a dark side thing?
Could be a Snoke thing.
Yeah.
Maybe Snoke trained him with that, because we don't know what kind of training he's got under Snoke.
Right.
You know, if all his abilities came from his training with Luke, or, you know, we don't know anything like that, and, you know, maybe we will a little bit further, but yeah, that was really cool. And, although we've never seen a Jedi do it, so.
Yeah, and back at that scene there, I think it's gonna play forward, is who was the guy that he ends up killing? That's like it's like he's an older Jedi. He's not a Jedi, but he's an older member of the Alliance or whatever. And
I actually don't know who he is.
Okay.
So
I was making sure it wasn't just me. I'm sure somebody knows.
Oh, a lot of people know, and we'll get plenty of tweets telling us that who he was, but I don't know who he was. I mean, I know who the actor was, but I don't know who the character was in history as far as Star Wars goes.
So, but he knows.
But he was very familiar, with Han, and he knew who Kylo was.
Right.
His family. And obviously he was entrusted with the map.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, which had to have come from Luke only, because nobody else knew it existed.
Yeah.
So, like I said, he was definitely trusted by all of them.
Probably not at the time, you didn't know, but knowing now with, you know, Rise of Skywalker coming up, and you know the story, and you watch this movie back, and that scene, and he's talking to Kylo before Kylo kills him, and he says, you can't deny your truth. You can't deny your family, you can't deny your truth, or something like that, along those lines. And I'm wondering, like, how much of that is going to play into what is coming up next month. Because I've heard a lot of stories of how this final movie is going to wrap everything up, and it's really playing on everything that's been told to us so far.
Right.
Where is Kylo going to end up in this thing? And throughout this movie, the conflict, it's a unique version of the conflict. Because most of the time, the conflict is you're on the light side with the dark side pulling you, and now we're following a character who's on the dark side, and he's openly admitting throughout the movie that he's being pulled to the light.
Right.
Which sounds weird. You know, it'd be like, doesn't that seem like it would be the easier way to go? But it's not. It's go on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's easy to go to the dark.
Right. It's very hard to come back to the light.
Right.
So his name is Lor-San Tekka, but it says he was created for episode 7, but obviously there's got to be a history to the characters built in somewhere.
Right.
We just don't know what it is. Yeah, but it's very possible that we see some of that in the next movie.
Yeah. And we don't...
go ahead.
I was going to say, and we don't know when the next... So the next set of movies to jump after Rise of Skywalker. We have nothing coming out that took place before this, because that's a 30-year gap, even right. In the Star Wars time. It's in our timeline, too, but in the Star Wars timeline, it's like a 30-35-year gap between Jedi and this.
Yeah, and I don't think even with the TV shows that are coming, we don't really have anything to bridge the gap.
Right.
You know, again, we know, we talked about it last week, I think. You know, the Game of Thrones guys trilogy is off the books now.
Right.
I heard rumor today that the Rian Johnson trilogy is actually off the books, too. So we don't even know what's coming, like what timelines
like
we're going to be
exploring. It's like the 80s all over again.
I know. That's the whole thing. We're back to, in the information, like this is the golden age of information, and we don't know anything,
right.
You know, about what's coming forward.
I had a conversation at a Friendly Neighborhood the other day. I was telling them that we were doing this week's podcast on Force Awakens. A couple of the customers come over, and I'm trying to get out of there, and we end up talking for like 20 minutes. And yeah. One of the customers was like, he's read every book, every Star Wars book. He knows like what's canon, what's not. He knew all of this stuff. Our conversation went to like the gap. And what happened and why the movie, and because I mentioned that newspaper clipping that we tweeted out.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, yeah. And I was telling him about it. He's like, I haven't seen that clipping. So I sent him to our site, blah, blah, blah. But he said, I go, why do you think that this didn't happen? And I was like excited because he had the same version I did of the divorce that George Lucas went through. And that's what caused it because she had some rights. So
I was going to say, I don't know how. Why would the divorce necessarily derail the trilogy?
Because she had the story was, and he. I don't want to say confirmed it because we're just two guys that. But right. This is what I heard back then, and he also heard it too, and it was like she had something in the divorce that was like, and me and this gentleman also speculated it could be like. You're getting half of my money. I'll stop making movies so you don't get half of that money. I don't know. I'm guessing, but you know what I mean?
Isn't 50% more of nothing still better than nothing? Like,
are you that spiteful?
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
At some point, that deal must have run out because he obviously came back and made the movies.
Right.
So is it like, well, I get 50% of what you do for the next 10 years and then...
You know what I mean? It could have been something like that. I don't know. I'm spitballing. I'm not trying to disparage Lucas or his ex-wife or anything. But, you know, we all know that everything got derailed for a little while. So,
right. And just don't really know why.
It was just funny that gentleman had the same story. I was like, oh, good. Somebody else knew the same story. But here we go again.
Right.
You know, and it's this movie, this franchise has just been. Plagued with delays but the fan base still comes back and, you know, can't wait for midnight showing so we can all applaud and cheer.
Well, and the rumor site, again, these are the rumor sites, so you take them with a grain of salt, but the rumor with the Game of Thrones guys now is that it wasn't so much their commitments to anybody else that made them back out. It was the fandom and just not wanting to deal. Like, after they just took this huge heat from the end of Game of Thrones and everybody was jumping down their throats.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, do I want to jump into Star Wars and have potentially more people jumping, you know, jumping down our throats? Or we could just go make a bunch of stuff for Netflix that's brand new and nobody will yell at us at all because, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, if that's true, that's cowardly.
That's why I don't think it's true.
You know?
These guys
We don't know these guys. They could be cowardly, you know.
No, but you don't.
I think you should not be afraid to tackle, like, because if the fandom is going to run off all the good people because they're afraid to tackle it, like, what a shame that is, because
Right, but that's
you're never
going
to get anything you like if nobody's willing to go in and try.
Right.
Because of you, you know.
Right, but that's so. But that's why I don't believe it because. Or I choose not to believe it. Doesn't mean it's right. not true, but just like you said, we don't know these people. So
right, we don't.
I don't. I'm not going to put the negative on them because
no,
I don't
I'm not
know
either.
Them.
Just and what,
you're right.
Just it, what we heard.
It could be true, but I and the reason I don't think something like that is true is because these are they're like professional athletes. Somebody like that. They're competitive people. They have a passion for doing these things, and
right.
you and I don't mean anything to them. At the end of the day, no. all of the people, it's like, it's kind of like when you're in the middle of winning the Super Bowl and you're up 45-10 and you have a bunch of, the whole world is looking at you going, wow, I hate that team. And they just go scoreboard and then right. walk away and collect their rings and have a good time. Well, a lot of people didn't like the last season of Game of Thrones, but they can say scoreboard. It's like,
right.
look at what we've done. I don't, fine, you don't like it. It's not what you wanted to do. You go make your version.
Right.
And that's how I believe those people
right.
think.
And their money was made. They got paid.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't think for a second, and again, that's my opinion, but I don't think for a second that they ran away scared of,
right.
of Star Wars fans. And it's like, right. yeah, we are an unruly bunch, but I'm, cause it, that'd be
yeah,
like me
like
and
I
you
said,
being scared of our opinion, being like, oh.
Right. Nah. Like I said, just something I heard could be
right.
completely inaccurate, but you know, we had heard very recently that they had just mapped out their kind of next decade plan for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Did that include these people dropping out, or did this now derail that 10-year plan already, and they're having to go back to square one all over again?
Right.
You know, we don't know. But anyway, let's get...
We still have Kevin Feige.
Yep, we do.
So...
But I wanted to jump back in. Let's jump back into this one.
Yeah.
Well, because there's something else that I noticed this time. And I've seen this one. Again, I haven't seen it as many times as I've seen the original trilogy. But I've probably watched this movie half a dozen times, you know, at least. But I noticed something this week that I had never noticed before when I was watching it. You've probably noticed it because you're pretty good about dissecting every scene. But at... You know, when Rey is having her crisis at the tree moment, you
yep.
know, and when she touches
okay.
the saber and she's
yep.
starting to get her flashbacks. In the original movie, when Obi-Wan gives Luke... No, it wasn't even when he gave Luke the saber. I think it was when he had his success on the Falcon with the remote. And Obi-Wan says to him, "You have just taken your first steps into a much larger world."
Yep.
So when we're going through this movie and Rey is having all of her... flashbacks and memories.
What was that?
You hear a whisper of that.
Oh, yeah.
You hear that whisper of a larger world. I had never heard that before.
Yeah.
I never noticed it. And I knew you had. That's
oh,
why
yeah.
I said, I know you've probably heard it.
Yeah.
But, again, that callback was just so cool to me. And
yeah.
again, a bunch of people are probably going to be like, "Oh, you're so stupid! How did you not hear that the first time around?" But
there's a lot of information.
But again,
in that
there's
scene.
So much right. There's so much that's happening there, and it took me like 6 or 7 viewings before I actually heard that.
Yeah,
and I still don't remember if it was Alec Guinness's voice. I'm sure it was.
Yes, it was
just a replay
they
of his
used
voice
it.
Saying that.
Yeah.
Again, I just thought that was a really cool callback.
The whole that chest. It's his chest.
Right.
It's Obi-Wan's
and
chest.
And then just like, how did that get there? You know, again, you never know how Maz Kanata got that chest. How did she get the? Because that's the saber that's at the bottom of Bespin or Cloud City or wherever it was.
Yeah.
Like, how does that get back to the chest and to Maz Kanata on whatever planet she's on?
I figured it's like Thor's hammer.
Yeah, it just comes back.
When Luke
again,
lost it, it took off and went back to the chest.
That's a story I would love to know, but we probably won't. Like, I don't know if they'll delve into that even in the third movie. I wonder if
that's going to be a show.
I wonder if JJ had been able to do all 3 movies if we would have gotten some of that story. But now, since he didn't do number 2, maybe we don't hear any of that. But I think that's really cool.
I think that's I use the term prequel, but I think that's for something that's going to take place before this movie. in that 30-year gap area, if they come out with a show or something, we're going to find out all that. That's one thing that about these movies that I really like is nothing is insignificant.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like everything means something. Everything is done with a purpose. And, you know, that goes, excuse me, that goes back to Lucas and building this world back in the 70s. And it's like everything was done with a purpose and everything means something. And we're going to build off of each one of those things. And that's why we can have, you know, Rogue One. And it's like, you know, it's like, and Rogue One is founded off of a plot hole.
Yeah.
One of your favorite things, you know, and it's like, and that's, you know, and we're going to do Rogue One next, but that's one of those things that's like, hey, they listen to the fan base. They listen to everybody and it's like, you know what? Screw you, fan base. We're going to fill that plot hole for you. Right. And it's like, and that's one of those things that every time you bring up a plot hole, I can go back to Rogue One. It's like, it's something that happened off scene that we don't know about, but here's a plausible reason. And that's what's great about this entire franchise.
So I have a bold prediction.
Oh, boy.
I think Han Solo survives and shows up in Rise of Skywalker. Because if Star Wars has taught us nothing, it has taught us that the surest way to survive what looks like certain death is to fall off a bridge into a giant abyss. Because everybody that's done that has survived. So when I was watching him fall the other day, I was like, he's coming back, even if he's in two pieces.
Okay. Because... two things. I said a while ago, I think in our first podcast, I think in Solo, I think that Han Solo is a Jedi. I think he has the power. I said that a long time ago.
Yeah, I still and you don't didn't know if believe I think that. Well, right. I don't know if I think that, but...
Right. I
know.
I'm the pretzel over here.
Right.
And I can twist this around, but he has all the attributes of a Jedi that we've seen in Jedi going back to Anakin, right? And being like, you know, a gifted pilot and being able to manipulate and do things. And if you track his story, he has those Jedi traits. That being said, when he went off of the scaffolding or catwalk,
right,
and he wasn't in two pieces, but he was only cut. And I'm like, oh, it's possible he could come back. Well, here's the thing.
The lightsaber will cauterize the wound as it goes in. So
will it survive? How did he? You're going to have to fill the hole, though. There's a slight.
Well, right. There has to be a way. Right. There has to be a way.
Do you know why he could most likely be dead? How did he get off of the planet before it exploded?
True. That's true.
That's a pretty big... It's one thing to be in two pieces. It's another thing to be in many.
In 32 pieces. Yeah, you're right about it. I didn't think about that. I just saw... When I saw him falling off that bridge, because we know the Emperor's back, and he fell off the bridge. We know Darth Maul is back. He fell off the bridge.
Right. So I was with you.
Actually, even Boba Fett. We know Boba Fett's back. He fell into the Sarlacc pit, so...
Right. So... All of those things, the buildings didn't explode. Actually, no, wait a minute. The Death Star did explode. So it is possible because the Emperor, he fell down when Vader threw him in. Right,
right, but we think he might be back through cloning, though.
Correct. So
Han wouldn't be that. So
Han wouldn't be that, but they would have to get him off of there before the planet exploded. I think he's coming back as a Force ghost.
Yeah, maybe.
And that would lend to my theory
that Jedi doesn't survive the fall, though. I think he survived the fall, just because. Maybe he's hanging on the weather vane on the bottom of the planet, and somebody comes by and scoops him up.
I'm totally with you, and I was totally with you watching the movie. I go, yeah, and when I say I'm totally with you, I'm saying, like, I thought the exact same thing, because I thought all of the other people that fell, they're all still alive, right? And then all of a sudden, they're pulling away and the planet explodes. And I'm like...
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Does throw
a little monkey wrench into my theory.
Sitting here watching the movie, I'm going, well, that's going to be tough to survive.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to pull off.
So somehow...
Well, actually, I tell you what. So he survived the fall and then he died. That's what I'm going with.
That's a short movie.
Yeah, I'm going with that. So, all right. So I wouldn't be me if I didn't bring up The convenience that did bother me a little bit, though.
Oh, boy.
Like, what are the chances that the only stormtrooper on the planet that has, like, the riot gear baton faces off against Finn with his lightsaber?
Right.
Literally the only stormtrooper on the entire planet that has that, doesn't even know Finn has a lightsaber, and shows up right in front of him, and they have this cool battle with the baton and the lightsaber.
Right.
You know, work your magic, because I'm sure you have something, but...
No.
I was like...
I'm with you.
I was like, what's the chances of that? I was like, that's convenient.
I'm gonna go another step further.
What's that?
Why would you even make that weapon if you can make
it? That's what I'm saying. Why did he even have that? Like,
who armed him with that? What did right. he? Is he that, like, one stormtrooper that couldn't pass his, like, marksmanship test?
Yeah, right.
So they're like,
he's like, you
sorry,
can't
shoot,
buddy. So here's a
stick. We're giving you a laser axe.
Right.
And you're gonna
I didn't even know what the purpose of that was, but
yeah.
I was actually looking because I was trying to see any other stormtroopers that had one hanging from their belt.
Right.
And nobody did.
Right.
It's cool. Like, it looked cool in the movie, but I was like, that's, I don't know.
With all the weapons going on in this movie and everybody around him, you're that one guy going, what did I do wrong? Why do I
I just wonder, like, what was his purpose? Like,
right.
Like, what was his job? You know, Finn was in sanitation, so I don't know what this guy was doing.
But the thing is, even a lightsaber, they explain that away throughout the lore of Star Wars, is it's
right.
an elegant weapon of the Jedi. And you'd think, like, in A New Hope, they actually have that conversation when Han Solo says, like, oh, it's no match for a blaster. And then
right.
as those movies play out over the years, you see that, yeah, it is no match. But when you're first introduced to a lightsaber, you're like, if you could have a gun or a sword, which would you pick?
Right.
The Jedi chose the lightsaber because it is, like, it's that elegant weapon, and
right.
they're defensive people. They're not a...
Right. They're not a... Right.
Right. So why would you hand a laser axe to somebody that's about to go into battle and everybody else has guns?
Right. Yeah. It goes back to my whole bayonet story when I was in boot camp.
Exactly.
Right? It's like, why do I want this thing? Like, people are shooting at me. What am I going to do with this? You know?
Yeah. You basically, so. I mean, you're running around when you were in boot camp, you're running around with a gun with a letter opener on the end.
Right.
Because I'm not using it for anybody.
Right. It's like, I don't need this. I'm shooting.
Who knew that would play out this many years later into a Star
I know,
Wars
right?
conversation?
And then, again, does it bother you at all how proficient Rey is with the Force at the end of it? Like, she literally defeats Kylo Ren.
No.
And...
No.
With no training whatsoever. And
right.
it's like, where does that come from? You know? I mean, I know, and that's been a big criticism from a lot of people, you know, and I don't want to use the term Mary Sue, but, well, I just did, but, I mean, a lot of people, you know... Well, because, I mean, I was trying to think of how else to say it. But, you know, a lot of people have that criticism, you know, that she's a Mary Sue. You know, I don't know if you... I don't know what the derivation of that term is. But it basically refers to somebody that has all these abilities with no training or no explanation of why they should have them. And a lot of people have commented that Rey is that. And I don't want to, like... be that guy and say that she is that, but I also wonder, it's like, how is she able to defeat Kylo Ren? How is she able to harness this power that she doesn't really know she has to such a degree, you know?
Right.
I think,
first off, using that term in a movie isn't fair, because I honestly have never heard that term. You could tell by the look on my face, I was lost.
Yeah.
but using that term in a movie isn't fair, because all it is in any movie, if you don't know how they got that power, that means they just haven't told you yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and now if we get to the case of Rey, I think it's in the title. It's the title of the movie is Force Awakens. And I think we're seeing the Force come out of her. And just because it hasn't happened previous, but it kind of did with Anakin when he was a child. I mean, he had some incredible talents as a pilot for a child. That where did he get those? Nobody trained him to be a pilot, right? So I get wielding a lightsaber is different than, you know, jumping in a ship and practicing. She had right. never picked up a lightsaber before, but the right. Force is more than that. If the Force, I've always thought of the Force as something like, it's willing, it has its own will as well, and it's willing her to survive. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's my interpretation of the Force. Almost like you have a destiny, and the Force is going to guide you on that on that trip. And
well, it's not that you can't be wrong, because Obi-Wan says that. I mean, that's part of the description that he gives Luke of the Force, that it guides you.
It guides you, but
I don't know that it gives you that ability. Like, because Luke didn't have the ability to fight with a lightsaber inherently. He had to learn. He had to be trained.
Right, but maybe know? Other. But every Jedi has different abilities and different powers. Right. You know,
like I can go like the scene where she's where he's trying to pull the information from her mind and she's able to repel that.
Right.
Like I can buy that was instinctual, like it just happened reflexively.
Right.
I do have a little bit of a hard time with the lightsaber battle, though. Even not so much the fact that she was like, maybe she could have been okay with it, but like she literally defeated Kylo Ren. With, you know, like I said, with no training and no ability whatsoever. And
right. Well,
and
here's
again,
the
maybe
thing.
There's backstory that we don't know.
You're right. But I think what they tried to give you without words was, and it is one of my favorite scenes of the movie. Remember when he's about to defeat her, he's pushing down on her, and all of a sudden she goes
calm. Right,
right.
She calms.
The snow is going, or mm-hmm. you know, and you have the glow of the lightsabers on their faces, and it's
right.
She in that moment, she goes very calm. Right,
right.
Right from there, after she goes calm, I'm looking at her face after she goes calm. I think they casted her for this role for that scene because her teeth, her face, that. Anger that she portrayed, and she went from calm to anger like that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so great, and it was almost like she channeled the Force, doesn't know what she's doing, but she's channeling it
right.
And that from then it's almost like kind of like when you do like arm wrestling, you're leaning, your arm is going, and she was going down, she was going back, and all of a sudden right. she comes back the other way, and the two characters lean.
She went over the top.
It, so. Exactly. There we go.
I don't know. Yeah, again.
You know
like,
what I mean? And she
I
beat
do,
him.
I mean, I know what you're saying, but I don't know. Like I said, it did bug me a little bit. You know, again, it's a great scene and we love it, right?
Yeah.
Because we want.
Oh, yeah.
She's the hero, so that's what we want right. to happen.
I think that's going to play out in Rise of Skywalker, and we're going to find out why she has that power. And like I said, this scene here is another reason I think that she is going to bring balance because she controls both sides of the Force. I mean, for her to use that anger the way she did in her face, I thought that was so impressive. It's such a great scene, the way she battles. And with her teeth clenched like that, it just really, that is not how a Jedi fights.
No, it isn't.
Right?
Although we saw Luke do that too. Like, when Luke beats Vader, it's because he let his anger
right.
take over.
But she seems to go to that next step.
Yeah.
And I think she almost did like what Luke did with Vader. She stopped for a second. We don't know would she have continued because literally the earth split between
right.
them.
Right.
And saved Kylo, really. I don't know. I thought that was I think that's a pivotal scene in the entire franchise. Hopefully that all, you know, we get a big payoff.
Well, again, we next might know month. The answer. Right. We might know the answer in a couple, right, in a month or so. So. Hopefully yeah. we will. Otherwise, what are we doing? know?
yeah, because boy, then we'll be like, we'll feel like fools having wasted our time for 30 something years.
Well, but the thing is, like, there should be no questions left unanswered at the end of this movie because we know that they don't have any intentions of revisiting like these characters again. At least that's what they've said. So, like, if we don't walk out of this movie knowing who Rey is and knowing what about her. Something's wrong.
So
know.
Are they not revisiting Rey, or are they? I mean, I think they can revisit with her. I don't know if they're never going to visit with Luke, Leia, and Han
no.
and again.
Technically, they could, but at least from what I heard, that, like, we leave them all behind, you know, going forward, yeah. And we're going to get all new stories. This is supposed to be the definitive end chapter. So that's why I'm saying that we should have all of our answers. And if we don't have all our answers, then that just tells us that they have plans to come back to it at some point. Because
right.
I get, you don't leave questions like that you never intend to answer.
It's right. Just... Well, and, I mean, kind of building off this, backing up a little bit, her using the Jedi mind trick on Daniel Craig.
You will remove these restraints and leave this cell with the door open.
What did you say?
You will remove these restraints and leave this cell with the door open.
I'll tighten those restraints, scavenger scum.
You will remove these restraints and leave this cell with the door open.
I will remove these restraints and leave the cell with the door open.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And it's like, how does she know how to do that? It's like, right. I mean, it's on that same level of she has these powers and she doesn't know.
Well, I would say that my explanation for that is that at this point, like everybody, like Luke Skywalker is a famous person at this point. Like, everybody knew who Luke Skywalker was.
Right.
So they all know he's a Jedi. I would think at some point, like, some of the things that the Jedi can do have become, like, common knowledge.
Yeah.
And so maybe she's thinking, she's
maybe
sensing
I should try
that she
this.
May have,
yeah.
Right. Maybe she's sensing, hey, I think I might have this.
I
so
saw this on the internet.
It.
Let me see if I can try it.
Right. I'm just going to try this and see if it works. And that might answer that part of it. It still doesn't say she might think, okay, I have this lightsaber, but that still doesn't explain how she knows how to use it.
Right.
But it would say, hey, I'm going to give this a try and just try to use the Jedi mind trick on. Hell, I do that. I try to Jedi mind trick people all the time. So
doesn't work.
It doesn't work. But
I think it has
it
the opposite
really cool.
effect with my wife.
I know, right? they do completely what I don't want them to do. But it was a very cool, it was a really cool scene. Because at first he resists it. And she's like, but you will release me and give me your blaster or whatever. And he says,
yeah, you rebel scum or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it does work. And I love right. when he's walking out.
And you'll drop your weapon.
And I'll drop my weapon.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. That whole story is pretty cool. Daniel Craig, didn't he request to be in the movie?
Yeah, well, and Kevin Smith's like, in there too. You know, Kevin Smith is one of the stormtroopers. That scene that we were talking about where Finn's fighting the riot trooper, Kevin Smith is the voice of, I don't think he physically
oh, really?
Was in the, he wasn't physically in the suit, I don't believe.
Yeah.
But he recorded voiceover for one of those stormtroopers.
That's Daniel Craig in the suit.
Yeah, that I know.
And you can tell by the way he walks too.
Right.
That it looks like, I mean, he has the same gait and, you know, stride right. and everything of Daniel
there's a,
Craig.
There's actually been a lot of famous stormtroopers. Like lots yeah. of people want to get into Star Wars and, you know, want to be a stormtrooper. Even though, again, a lot of them don't ever get, like, they never show their face.
No.
Like you would, you know. Now we have the internet, so we know, you know, we know when some of these famous people pop in. But
right.
there's probably a lot of famous people in Empire and Jedi that we would never really know about because
right.
there wasn't the internet to dissect it
Well, it's
for
probably
us.
Family members and yes,
yeah.
hey, you want to be a stormtrooper?
Yeah.
You want
Uncle Joe is a stormtrooper,
yeah.
and, you know.
So in the theme of jumping around, towards the end when Rey and Leia hug when she
yeah.
comes back, and I meant to do this before we started recording, again, mental note, lost it. Doesn't that look just like the trailer for Rise of Skywalker? It looks like the same hug, and I was wondering if it's the same hug and they just changed the background.
It probably is because, you know, again, we know obviously these scenes are all repurposed because she's wasn't here to film them.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, probably. It's probably superimposed.
I think she did film some of them though, because they had filmed these.
Well, they,
in
obviously
advance.
She filmed all the scenes, But
no, but I mean that even for this movie, you know what I mean? Like, they had filmed scenes for this movie before she passed.
Had they? I thought most of what they were using was unused footage that they had intended. What I thought, anyways, was there was stuff that was intended for Last Jedi that got held back, and now they're repurposing it for
Skywalker. You're right. I think I heard that, too. It's like, actually, wasn't she not supposed to make it to this one or something, and they redid that? Did I hear that?
Maybe. Like, maybe she was originally supposed to die in
The character Last Jedi. Was supposed to die in Last Jedi, and they were like, oh, we'll redo this, because they didn't want to make it seem that way.
Well, you're right. Yeah, that would be, like, too on the nose.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, going back to the kind of the right before that scene when we see Leia, again, that's another indication that maybe we're wrong and Han did die after all, because she feels that death.
Yes.
You know, they do jump back to her reacting when he dies, and she feels that. Now, maybe she's feeling the injury and not, you know, because I'm just doing anything I can to talk myself into thinking he's still alive, but you know, she feels that
fun
death.
Being a pretzel, isn't it?
Yeah. She has the Obi-Wan, you know, when Alderaan blows up moment.
Hey,
that,
last last podcast, I was all negative about a book, so I'm turning into you.
That's
You're turning into me.
It's like Freaky Friday.
What the heck? Well, hey, what was it? J.R. Hooded Collector wanted us to swap roles. Here you go.
Right. This is your Freaky Friday moment. I'll be Lindsay Lohan, and you can be Jamie Lee Curtis or whatever it was.
Nice. Yeah. I look great in a nice set of pumps.
There you go. You are great in True Lies. I loved you in True Lies. Now you tell me you love me in Herbie.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I know you can't.
I got one more thing before we get to the ending.
Okay.
And I thought it was a pretty profound scene. We skimmed over it really quickly, but when Han died, Chewie's reaction.
Yeah.
Super, super powerful. And I don't even mean this to sound like to diminish the scene, but anybody who's ever owned a dog and you're like, what would it be like if you died? How does the dog react?
Right.
That's
especially if you die in front of them.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's to see Chewie, and it's like that letting out that howl or yell, you know, scream that he let out, and you're just like, they show, you know, Finn and Rey. I don't know if I think Finn kind of takes a back seat, but if you look at him, he has a weird look on his face. Like, he's very upset, but he's just like, he doesn't know what to do if you look at him. And it's like, Rey actually speaks something. I can't remember if she says no or whatever she yells. It's like, she's got that emotional face. But that scene with Chewie, and it's very quick, but I thought it was so powerful, especially if you're an animal lover.
Well, and the thing with that, too, is you have to, again, kind of put your mind into the story that we don't see on screen.
Yeah.
Like, after that movie came out, there was a cartoon that floated around. I don't know if you ever saw it, but it was like 4 or 5 panels, and it was basically Chewie as Ben was being raised, and like how he was there for all those moments, you know, like,
oh, really?
Him playing with little Ben Solo, and you know,
right,
because you would imagine at some point he was Uncle Chewie, right? Like, they were Han and Chewie were obviously, you can't see me, but I'm doing the cross fingers, like, you know, tight. And so you would imagine that he was there and had an affection for Ben,
right?
So the conflict that must be raging in that
moment,
he shoots at him, but he probably, again, still loves that kid too.
Right.
Just like even Han, when Han is dying and he knows his son just killed him, he still holds his hand on his face, because anybody that's a father would still, like, I still love you. Like, I still love you. You're my son. Even though you just killed me, I forgive you. And
so,
it was kind of like Chewie has to be feeling some of that too, you know?
Let's get into that.
This is too deep for our podcast.
No.
I'm just going to say it right now. But
no, yeah, we're as deep as a paper plate. Let's get into Han's death. I don't know how we haven't until now, but did he kill Han? Because I feel like there's potential there where this is like, Han helped him. Like, I know what you need to do. I need to pass on. This is how, because we don't know what happened in the last 30 years. We don't know. What if, because they show him holding the lightsaber, Han holding the lightsaber.
And you're thinking he pulled it into himself.
Yeah, maybe he did it because that again, getting back to nothing happens without reason. Kylo asks him, Ben asks him, I need your help. And he helps him. Is that a potential that's going to play out?
The only argument I have to that is that would, you know, obviously Han, yeah, right, he wants to help his son. You always want to help your son no matter what. But, like, do you help your son convert to the dark side? You know what I mean?
Maybe this saves him because if he doesn't, so this saves him from going to the dark side because if Kylo does it himself, if Kylo does it, then he goes to the dark side. But if Ben allows his father to kill himself, that keeps Ben on the light side. And maybe that is even something that is, how cool would that be if that plays out next month? And he goes, I didn't do it. My father did that to keep me on the light. I'm obviously spitballing, pretzeling my way through this, but that scene is always, not bothered me, but has always intrigued me in that he's like, I know what I have to do, but I need help.
Right. I don't because, know if I have the strength. Will you help me?
Right.
And he says yes.
And he says, yes, I'll do whatever. I'd do anything or whatever. When the lightsaber goes through him, it's not an immense amount of shock on Han's face. And then he just reaches out, touches Ben's face, and then he falls.
Right.
So I've had that thought since the first time I saw the movie because I know like these things don't go, they don't mean nothing. There's a meaning there in why they had Kylo ask for help. You know, and I know a lot of people could say, oh no, he reached out and said, here, take my saber. Like, what, taking the saber away from him means he's not Kylo anymore? I don't know. You know, it's.
No, but I think it's symbolic. Like it's symbolic of disarming. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah,
disarming
absolutely.
The dark side version of myself, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I can't argue it one way or the other because I don't know, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know that he would help facilitate his transition to the dark side, but I guess, like you said, if he's basically committing suicide, then it takes the responsibility on back onto himself, you know?
Oh.
So. I don't know.
What if it's a mirror, that scene's a mirror image of how Obi-Wan went?
Well,
Luke witnessed Obi-Wan being struck down while Obi-Wan did nothing to stop it.
Right.
Being struck down by Anakin / Vader, right? Now Rey is witness to her role model that she had a job with him. Know what I mean? She was the person that she looked up to. I mean, you want to talk about mirroring A New Hope. This is it. You know what I mean? I mean, this is it. And this is where, like, now Han has become Obi-Wan in this scene. And the only thing we're missing is Kylo, strike me down and I'll become more powerful than you can imagine.
Right.
Because maybe they had the conversation previous to the movie of, you know, if you strike me down, that'll say, you know, they know how it plays out.
Right. I just want to, because I'm going to reference something that I meant to talk about when we talked about A New Hope. So I'm going way off track here for a second. But that scene has always bothered me in the sense, you know, where, you know, when Obi-Wan stops and sacrifices himself. Because his whole intent for fighting Vader there, in some degree, is to provide a distraction for them to escape the Death Star, right? So how does, like, stopping the fight by sacrificing yourself provide the isn't the distraction to keep fighting so Vader stays busy? But literally he sacrifices himself so Vader stops fighting and starts advancing towards Luke and everybody that's trying to escape. So didn't he fail at his mission?
No, because I think his mission was to to die. He knew when he was when he left
right,
them.
Right, but I think you let that happen after they've gotten away. They hadn't gotten away yet.
He wanted Luke to see it. I think he wanted Luke to see it so Luke would have the motivation and be like, this is who Vader is. And then what if he holds out too long and accidentally wins? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, then, you know, that's a win-win, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He has to figure out how he's getting off the Death Star, but, you know.
But,
that's always bothered me. It's like, if I'm trying to distract you, it's like, stopping
John,
the fight is the worst thing.
Come back to the light side. Come back to the pretzel. We can twist this to make it work.
I know. Anyway, I was going off track, but I
but
meant
it's
to
not
talk
off
about
track
that.
Because that's exactly what happened. That gets us right back to what that exact scene could exactly be in Force Awakens.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, we just laid it out. You have, you know, Rey. Rey is Luke witnessing
right.
it. Han is Obi-Wan, and Kylo is Vader.
Right.
And, you know, so, I mean, and Ben is Anakin. So, who, that could, that whole scene right there, and that would allow, you know, if this plays out in the next movie, as Han comes back as a Force ghost, and there are rumors of him coming back as a Force ghost.
But you would have to presuppose that he knew he was going to come back as a Force
ghost. Of course. Yeah. We have a 30-year gap, John. We can presuppose a lot of stuff in there.
I guess. Because, I mean, that's the thing, too. You know, like, Obi-Wan sacrifices himself because he knows he's coming, like,
Correct. He knows
he's coming back as a Force ghost.
Right.
But, I mean, that would assume that Han Solo was literally a full-fledged Jedi, and we just never knew it.
No, I don't think he's a full-fledged Jedi. I think he knows he has those powers.
But he would have to, but again, that power wasn't instinctual. It had to be taught.
Right.
Like, they all
30
had to
years
learn.
Of teaching with Luke. You think Kylo won? Kylo got, or Ben got a lot of training from
yeah.
Luke. And that would also explain why, not explain. I mean, it's easy to explain. He has witnessed
know.
It over 30 years. But when he gets on to the, when we first see him on the Millennium Falcon, as we referenced a while ago in the podcast, he says it's all real. Well, that would also reinforce why he thinks it's all real. It's he understands it, and he actually can wield some of this power. I don't think he's a full-fledged Jedi, but I think we're going to find out with Rey. Rey's not a Jedi either, and never
no,
will be a
she's
Jedi.
Not. Right? She's
None
not.
Of these people are Jedis.
All I know is I need a beer to go with these pretzels because
yeah.
I'm getting thirsty. no, right? Well, we do know that Rey won't be a Jedi. She's going to be something. Like she's something different. Right.
Right,
so never be a Jedi because there's nobody. First of all,
Luke
nobody
is
left
the last
to train
Jedi.
Her.
Right. Right,
there was nobody to train her, and right, we know Luke was the last Jedi. She is something else, something new
right.
that we haven't seen before. Yeah, this is a lot of it'll all bear out in 4 weeks or so. So we'll have the answers to all
yeah.
of these things. But
and if we keep talking, we might talk
we
right
might,
up until the start
I
of the
say,
next
right.
movie.
right. We might not have to wait too long at all. So.
So the last final scene of the movie,
yeah.
I thought in the theater it was awesome. Every time I've watched this movie, I think it's awesome. When I watched it the other day, it is just such a powerful scene. Watching Luke turn around, watching, you know, her climb up. It's just, right. it's such a great scene.
What makes it even better is knowing what happens after. Because you're right, that movie
yeah.
ends and it's so powerful and she's standing there and we see Luke and she's handing him the saber and you're like, okay, end scene and you're waiting 2 years. And then literally the next movie he grabs the saber and flips it off the side. That's what makes it better now, you know?
Right.
We
so
didn't
when
know that the first time we saw it, but
right.
now that we know that happens, it's like I can't look at the scene the same way again knowing what happens afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is super, super powerful, you know. It's like, here's the saber that he hasn't seen this saber in 30 years, right? Because
right.
he doesn't even know it. At this point, we don't even know if he knew it survived. He probably thinks it's still at the bottom of Cloud City
right.
with his hand.
Well, he's old. He you might know? Not even know which saber that is yet. He's too far away from it.
Well, little bit of Alzheimer's or whatever. I don't know. It's... He's probably pretty
Well, his eyes are going.
It. Yeah.
No, but I remember the build up to this movie and a lot of people, we had heard that he wasn't really in this movie.
Right.
And we were all pretty disappointed.
Yeah, right. And you're late until literally the last second before he's there.
I thought it played perfect. I loved it. It was because you had the, as we said before, you have Luke, yeah. You have Han showing up with Chewie. And that was a great time to do it in the movie, right? It gave you that little bit of that taste. You have Leia coming to save the day.
Right.
General. And then the last character, the biggest, you save the best for last. And it's, here he is. It's the final scene of the movie. And I just thought it was like those two characters, you have the future and the past together. And it, I just thought it was, it, the way they framed it, the way they shot it. I mean, everything about it. I thought in the music,
yeah,
I thought it was great. And you're right. 2 years later, you're expecting this emotional moment and it turns into like an outtake.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Which again, a lot of people think it's Rian Johnson's FU to J.J. Abrams or whatever. And I don't think that's the case, that's how the fandom perceives it, of course.
Right.
But,
and I don't think Rian Johnson wrote his in a bubble. And like, nobody knows what I'm doing here. They're all collaborating together because it has to be cohesive.
Well, if nothing else, you know Kathy Kennedy was involved in the
whole
process because we know she's thrown people off of movies when they weren't going the way she wanted them to go.
Right.
So whatever was done was approved by everybody. And you're right, it wasn't done in a vacuum.
Right.
You know, it's not like they saw the movie for the first time when we saw it, you know. I'm sure there was dailies and things going on, that, you know. That was the last scene they filmed, and he just snuck it in at the end. He paid off the editor, you know.
Yeah. Oh, man. Kathy Kennedy in the theater at the end of The Last Jedi with her hand to her forehead. What happened?
Yeah. It's like, oh, my God.
I knew I shouldn't have gone on vacation. And we'll get into Last Jedi. I have my thoughts on that movie.
Yeah, well, but obviously it's coming soon.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
All right. The moment you and I have been waiting for, the ranking. Where do you rank this movie in Star Wars? Now, there's only one left after this, so we've ranked
in the saga.
But for our ranking purposes, we have two left because we're going to rank Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
Force Awakens, and you have six movies in front of it. Where do you rank this movie?
This might be a little bit of a bold stance, I guess, but number three.
I'm right there with you.
All right.
Especially, I really liked how we did this and we went one through, you know what I mean?
Right.
How we did them in order. But watching this now after Jedi, and if you had asked me before we started this, I would have went, you know, 1, 2, 3 was the originals.
Right.
And then you go into the prequels. I would have had this one probably 4 off the top of my head. But after watching this literally right after we did Jedi, you know, a few weeks ago, I'm like, to me, there's a gap between, it's a big gap. And I was borderline close to making it higher than 3 for this movie.
I don't know if I was. For me, it's not close between 2. To me, it's 3 or 4. It would never crack the top 2 for me. I don't think.
It can't. And it's like
it can't.
It can't. But it's that good of a movie that it's like. So I have Star Wars. I have New Hope number 1 because it is the first one.
Right. And Empire 2.
And Empire is 2. But here's the thing. I think Empire is a better movie, but I'm giving A New Hope the jump because it's the first movie and
we talked about everything, right? Right.
So I kind of feel the same way with this one where this is a better movie than A New Hope. I mean, this movie from start to finish, it has tons of action to start the movie. You are thrown right into it. The story, is it formulaic in like A New Hope? But the story is a lot of fun.
Right.
Action throughout, the special effects, the entire movie grabs you. There's multiple times you're grabbed, but that's built off of the previous movies.
Right.
So
I agree with you in the sense that if you would have asked me before this week, I probably would have said 4 also.
Right.
But yeah, right, for all the reasons you just said, it's technically a better, it is technically a better movie than all of them. Like, it could be number one. You know what I mean? If you
right.
just look at, like you said, the technical details, aspects, and all of that, I still don't know that the story, I think Empire's
the best.
Empire is the best one, hands down.
Right.
Like you said, for you and I, it'll always be number two, because you can't recapture that feeling of seeing Star Wars,
right,
you know, for the first time. But it is really the best movie of the bunch.
But what's funny is, like you said, it's like you can't recapture Star Wars for the first time. Our Twitter followers are, after we do one of these, people are coming back, like, some people have come back with Jedi's their favorite because it was their first one.
Well, right. Again, it
you
depends
know, Empire's
on what
their favorite because it's their first one. It's pretty interesting how it's like, and you know, Star Wars is our favorite. It's the first one. It's like, I don't know if we have any Twitter followers where, you know, Force Awakens was their first one.
Right.
But
technically, they're not 18 yet, so they shouldn't be on Twitter.
Well, or they've just been blind to the Star Wars universe. I don't know. Could you be a 40-year-old Star Wars virgin?
You could be.
I don't know.
You could be. I'm sure there's people that still haven't seen
it. So you're seeing what I'm saying about, like, Force Awakens could be number two, but I'm giving – it's almost like Empire and Force Awakens are – we're fighting over which one would be one, but Star Wars gets one because it's default number one.
Right.
When in actuality, it would drop to three. You see what I'm saying? So it's
no,
like,
I do. I do.
I was really surprised. I haven't seen Force Awakens in a while. It's probably been over a year.
I hadn't either. And I was surprised how much I enjoyed it again.
Yeah. You know? I was surprised by how good it really, really was. And that's hard to do with a Star Wars movie. It's like, just, you know what I mean? So looking forward to Jedi. I don't think I'll have the same effect, but I did, you know. Spoiler, I did enjoy Last Jedi. It's not I don't hate it like a lot of people
I don't
do.
Hate it. I don't have the same vitriol for it that a lot of people have.
No.
I don't think it's the – well, again, we'll get to the rankings when we do this one, but it's nowhere near as high as Force Awakens for me.
No.
But again, we'll see.
We'll get into that.
I will rewatch it again before we do it.
Yeah.
And again, I've only seen this movie twice. I saw it twice in the theater because I felt like the first time I maybe – missed something, but I haven't watched it again since. So when we watch it, you know, for our show in a couple weeks, it'll be the first time I've seen it since it came out. So maybe I'll like it. Like I said,
well, it's
we'll
not
see.
That old. So yeah,
no, it's not.
I've seen it a few times.
Yeah, but
I saw it a few times
it.
in the theater.
I own it, but I haven't watched it. We'll have to see. Maybe I will like it more or less after watching it again. We'll have to see. You know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Next week we're actually hitting on The Mandalorian. We're Star Wars heavy pretty much from here.
Christmas.
And I were going over the calendar and we're like, I think we're sneaking something in other than Star Wars somewhere. But
yeah, but not much.
Not much. Nah, that's not a bad thing.
Nope.
It'll be fun. All right. What did you think of Force Awakens? Was it your first Star Wars movie? Let us know on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And of course, we are proud members of Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Check out all the great podcasts at nerdylegion.com. I wonder if any of the podcasts will be featuring Star Wars this week, because it seems like every time we do one, either we're
everybody
bumping
else
up against,
does it. Yeah.
Yeah, either we're bumping up against them or they're bumping up against us. It's like, I think when we first joined, remember both our podcasts came out at the same time. It was, I can't remember which one it was, but we were like, hey, all this Star Wars coming out at once.
Jedi. Yeah. Well, maybe it was Empire. Because we've been on Nerdy Legion for a little bit now, so it was probably Empire.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... It's pretty fun. I mean, we've been going at... We've been doing Star Wars once a month for, like, 6 months, I think. I think we're up to 6 months now, because we had to double up. We missed one or something, but we decided to do the... Luckily, we decided to do the countdown just in time.
Right. Yeah, because we're going to go right up until the release of Rise of Skywalker, so...
Yeah, we at the last minute decided to throw Rogue One in because we had done Solo originally. That's our first podcast ever.
Right.
And we were like, why not just throw it in? Because our original plan was just to do the main movies as the countdown. But our next feature would be, our next Star Wars movie is going to be Rogue One.
Yeah.
So, and that'll be in a few weeks, and then that'll get us into then Last Jedi and
Rise of Skywalker.
All right, that's good. Let's get out of here.
We will be
back on Wednesday. Well, you and I will be back on Wednesday. We'll be back on Thursday for you guys.
Yep.
So we'll see everybody on Thursday. Have a great rest of your week.
Take care, everyone.
Have a great week. Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.